Amen. We can't begin to imagine the excitement Ruth and Naomi must have felt at this moment of their life. You see, they have come back from a place of barrenness and things have so quickly changed for them. All seemed lost, all seemed hopeless. But yet, upon returning to Bethlehem, God had shown them mercy. He had shown himself mighty in their situation. He had provided for them, providentially caring for them. You see, this is Ruth found herself gleaning in the field of this man Boaz, where she found abundance and blessing. And as we come tonight to chapter 3, we don't know exactly how much time has passed, but the harvest was now ending, and a time of anticipation was drawing near. Ruth had been acquainted with this man Boaz. She had met him, but at this point, that is all it was, just an initial meeting. But yet there was something between these two. It is plain to be seen. There was that romance brewing here, we could say. Naomi knew it. And she knew the benefits of a relationship with Boaz. And she wanted Ruth to prepare herself for a personal encounter with this man, Boaz. You know, the word of God is a declaration of redemption and grace in Christ. And not only does the Bible declare and explain God's great purpose and mighty operations of grace, but it gives us numerous types and pictures and examples of which we can relate to as believers tonight. And certainly one of the most detailed and most beautiful instructive pictures of redemption and grace is this love story between Ruth and Boaz. And everyone loves a love story. We all love a happy ending. You know, if you're watching TV this time of year, you're bombarded with Christmas movies normally, and they all involve a love story, and they all involve a happy ending. And we all love a happy ending, so to speak. And here this great love story has a happy ending, but it has two great themes. One of them is hidden, and the other is revealed. The hidden theme is divine providence, how the Lord's working it all out in the background. And the revealed theme is redemption, which we see here through this kinsman redeemer, through this man Boaz. This story of redemption and grace before us is a story of a great fall and a great restoration. Naomi went out full, and Naomi came back empty. And her circumstances give a very sad and yet a very full picture of humankind, of mankind. How are the human race? At one time were full in the Garden of Eden as God created man, and then ended up empty through the fall of her father Adam. Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned. And yet here, as they came back to Bethlehem at the beginning of a barley harvest, we see the provision that has been made for the restoration. It's important to keep in mind here that Boaz is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a type of the Lord. And here Boaz, he takes this special notice of Ruth, just as the Saviour, just as the Lord Jesus Christ took special notice of sinners before the world ever began. And Boaz here commanded his young men not to touch Ruth. So we too are under God's special protection. The handfuls of purpose that we spoke of previously provided for Ruth. And it teaches us that the Lord provides for us. And here Ruth met this man Boaz, her near kinsman, the one who had the right to redeem. And what a wonderful picture he is of our precious Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one point in this story of love, grace, and redemption which is often overlooked. You see, Boaz knew what his intentions were toward Ruth, just as Christ knew what his intentions were towards his people from all eternity. Boaz knew what he could do and what he would do for Ruth, just as the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, knew what he could and would do for his church before the world even began. Read in 2 Timothy 1 and 9. Who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The Lord had his eye on us before the world began. And here Boaz had his eye on Ruth before she even knew about it. Naomi knew about it. She realized this man Boaz. She could see what was going on, but Ruth didn't know. Boaz had gotten Naomi's attention. And now there's going to be this personal encounter between them here, as we read of here in chapter 3. There's going to be great benefit for Ruth in knowing Boaz in a personal way. And these verses we read together, verses 1 to 5, they reveal Ruth's preparation for meeting Boaz. But tonight I want to look at verses 1 and 2 this week, and want to deal with a request for rest. A request for rest. We see this in verse 1 and 2. Notice firstly the plan by Naomi. There's a plan here. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" We discover the purpose here in meeting with Boaz centered upon this word rest. Notice that word rest. It has an important meaning here in this verse. It speaks much more than just a physical rest after a hard day's labour. It's much more than that. It speaks of a resting place, a place of security, a place of stability, a permanent home, a place of provision, a place of protection. And in regards to marriage, because that is what it is speaking of, it's in regards to marriage. It signifies a condition of a peaceful life, a peaceful and well-secured condition. And this was especially found in biblical times when women became married. You see, without marriage, they had the burden of little status or security or substance. Marriage, however, would give them rest from the burdens of life. And you want to keep that in mind as we consider these verses. Now, notice it was Naomi who made this proposal. He was the mother-in-law, we might say, interfering. And sometimes that might not be the way we like things. But here was Naomi, and she was interfering in Ruth's life. She made this proposal. Look again at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee?" Now, Naomi was the one who made this proposal. She was proposing that Ruth marry this man, Boaz. Now, that's unusual in our day, but not so in biblical times. In those days, the man did not propose to the woman, as the custom is in our day, but rather the parents brought about the marriage, brought about their proposal. And here Naomi, as Ruth's mother-in-law, she took it upon herself to be the matchmaker in this effort to get Ruth and Boaz married. Naomi had observed that Boaz, from the very first day they saw Ruth gleaning in his field, that he had his eyes on her. She could see this from a distance. And you know, sometimes that happens in life, doesn't it? You can maybe see a young couple and, you know, they're friendly, and those from outside can see, you know, they're a perfect match. But maybe the two couple themselves maybe don't realise it, but other people can see it quicker. And here, Naomi realised there's something here. And these couple would be a perfect match. And she realised that Boaz had a keen interest in Ruth. And even as Ruth came back from the field and gleaning with the field, remember how she spoke of Boaz, what he'd done for her? It was in glowing terms. And Naomi realised Ruth has feelings for Boaz, just as Boaz has feelings for Ruth. He had shown her kindness. He'd went far and beyond that he's obligated to do. He allowed her to glean in the corner of the fields. He asked the young men to drop handfuls of purpose for her, because he had an interest in her. And it's clear that Naomi thought this encounter through. She thought of Boaz as a near kinsman. She thought of his kindness. She realized that he would be willing to marry Ruth. She realized this would be a perfect match, this couple together. See, this was based on the Old Testament law, the Levirate marriage, as it was known. The word Lever in the Latin means husband's brother. And this was a legal right in Israel. Read in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 5. If brethren dwell together, and one of them die and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go in unto her, and take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother unto her. And this was God's law. And Naomi knew God's law. But notice Naomi's motive in this. Notice the end of verse 1. That it may be well with thee.
that it may be well with thee.
This was not an interfering mother-in-law, but rather this was one who had a deep concern for her daughter-in-law. She's come a long way. Remember at the end of chapter 1 she was bitter, but now she's changed. She's come a long way from chapter 1. This woman has been changed, and she's looking the blessing of God upon Ruth's life. The motive in the proposal, that it may be well with thee, would be accomplished in Ruth obtaining the rest of being married. As I mentioned earlier, the word rest and marriage, the two go together here in this verse. And the rest spoke of here means status. Rest from reproach of not having children. The burdened woman dreaded that awfully. You think of Genesis 30 and Rachel. You think of 1 Samuel and Hannah. You think of Elizabeth and in Luke chapter 1, how they were all barren and how they were stressed because they had no children. You think of Peninnah, how she used to come to Hannah and mock Hannah because she had no children. This was a reproach to the women in biblical times. There was also the rest of security, rest from harm, and the rest of substance, the rest from want. Today things are quite different from biblical times. You see, women are in a different situation today from the were in biblical times. Many don't care today whether they have children or not, and that's their own prerogative, but it's not a reproach not to have children today. In fact, many women, rather than have children, simply go out and murder their children. They'd rather just slaughter them than have children. There's no thought of children, but in biblical times it is so different. Children were a heritage from the Lord. They were a blessing. And for a woman to be barren was a reproach to her. And for a woman not to be married was also a reproach because she had no one to look out for her, to give her security and to provide for her. There was no welfare system in those days like we have today. So this rest, this marriage, this was Naomi trying to provide for her daughter-in-law, that she would be happy, that she would be no longer under reproach, that it may be well with thee. And that ought to be the goal of every marriage, let me say, that it may be well with thee. And let me say, when choosing a partner, young folk, those who are not married, both men and women should choose in a way that it would be well with them. They would seek a godly partner, that they would not be unequally yoked. And sadly, many have gone down that road and ended up having miserable lives rather than blessed lives. When you're choosing a mate, make sure you seek the Lord's will and you find someone with a godly character, someone who's saved and born again by the Spirit of God. And here Ruth and Boaz had that goodly and godly character. And the marriage made it well for both of them. And notice the wonderful gospel application we find even in these verses. And even in that word, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? You think of that word rest. You think of it spiritually speaking. It's often used to describe the effect of salvation. When someone is saved, when someone is born again by the Spirit of God, they find rest for their soul. Is that not what Christ commands or calls the sinner to in Matthew 11:28? Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Give you rest. Rest for your soul. You see, the unsaved do not have rest. The unsaved tonight do not have rest. They have no peace within their heart. Isaiah 57 tells us, the wicked are like the troubled sea, which it cannot rest. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And they have the opposite of rest. They have fear. They have no hope. They're in constant need of something to fill that void within their heart. They can never rest. They're always seeking for something. They're running after this sin, after that sin, to fill that void because they lack that rest that the salvation brings even to the soul. And just as rest in marriage for Ruth would make it well with her, so spiritually speaking, salvation will make it well for those who are saved. You see, Ruth really needed this blessed rest. For she was destitute, she was in poverty, she had no husband, she needed this rest. And her situation tonight pictures the sinner who is in great need of salvation. You see, as Ruth found status, as Ruth found security, as Ruth found substance in her marriage rest, so the sinner finds status and security and substance in Christ. What do I mean by that? Will you think of status? What happens when you're saved? What does the Word of God tell us in 1 John 3:1? Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Status? Children of God? That's what happens at salvation. We're brought into the family of God. Is there a higher status than that? No, there's not. Even being part of the royal family in this land is no higher status than being a child of God. When you're saved, you also have security, because you escape from eternal hell fire. The Word of God tells us in John 3:16 that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall not perish but have everlasting life. We have security. And in salvation, just as in this marriage rest, there is substance for those who are saved. Colossians 2:3, in whom Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have status, we have security, and we have substance when we have this spiritual rest. And this is what Ruth encountered. This is what Ruth would find when she came and when she would marry Boaz. This is the rest that Naomi sought for her daughter-in-law. Let me also bring application even to the believer tonight. You see, God's Word always has a word in season for the child of God. No matter where we are in God's Word, there's application for the Christian. And here, as we see, Naomi's concern for Ruth, for her daughter-in-law. You know, her efforts in seeking a husband for her, that she would have that rest. And so too, dear believer, we ought to have that same desire to reach the lost for Christ, that they would indeed find rest in Christ. You see, Naomi was of God's people, the Jews, and she was greatly concerned about the need of Ruth, who was outside the fold. She was a Moabite. And believers should be greatly concerned about the need of the unsaved, those who are outside the fold of God. Do we have that concern? You see, Naomi gave Ruth a message focused on Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. It was not a message of joining the nation. She didn't mention nothing about joining the nation. But rather, it was a message of one who was able to secure her future. One who would love her. One who would provide for her. One who would sustain her. And Naomi sought to bring Ruth to Boaz, to have her joined to him forever. And friends, that's the only message we have tonight as we seek to preach the gospel. It's not about bringing you into a church. It's not about bringing you into a religion. It's not about bringing you to a place of good works or self-righteousness. But rather, it's all about a man. The man Christ Jesus. And just as Naomi sought to bring Ruth to Boaz in this personal encounter, so we seek to bring you to Christ, point you to him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of your souls. Naomi was able to give Ruth very specific instructions here about coming to Boaz. We'll see this in verses 3 and 4. She told her to wash thyself therefore, anoint thee, put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. And she went on to tell her what she needed to do. And so God's people, as we witness to the lost, we should be able to give them those simple instructions how they come to Christ, what they ought to do. Simply repent. Simply repent of their sins and come and trust him as Savior. You see, the gospel message is a simple message. The Lord said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And once the message was given to Ruth here, she had to entreat Boaz for the marriage. We'll see that later next week, God willing, as we deal with the next few verses. But Naomi did not do that for her. Ruth had to come herself to Boaz. She had to entreat Boaz. She had to come to Boaz herself. And likewise in salvation, the sinner must come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. They must call upon Christ. You see, Naomi could not do that for her. And friend, we cannot do that for you tonight. No one could do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. Your brothers and sisters, your family members, your minister. No one can do it for you. You must do it personally. This is a personal responsibility. You must come yourself. You see, you may hear the message, and yet you may refuse to act upon it. And you will die in your sins. You'll go to that lost sinner's hell because you have refused to come. You see, it's not enough knowing about it. It's not enough
of just receiving this message, but it had to be heeded. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here Ruth had to come herself to Boaz. She had to come herself personally to him. And so too you, sinner, must come tonight yourself and trust in Christ. You see, sadly today many are seeking rest for their souls in the world. And as it is today, many seem to think they're okay. Oh yes, they might be bothered about heating crises and things like that. But for their soul, they've no concern about their soul. Very few tonight have any concern about the soul. They've all they need as far as they can see. They don't consider that the harvest will soon be over. The harvest here was over. The harvest was past. And sadly, many tonight, maybe even this meeting, realize the harvest is past, the summer's ended, and you're not saved. You're not saved. You're still far from God. You're still seeking rest, and you still have not found it in the world, and you never will. You see, rest here involves a home. It involves a place of provision. It involves protection. Ruth was a widow from Moab, one who no one would offer her any rest because she was a pagan. And Boaz was her only hope, the only one who was able to redeem her. And dear sinner tonight, Christ is your only hope. No one else can save you. And those today who don't understand that they need to come simply to Christ and find rest in him, find peace for their soul, even with the Saviour. You see, apart from Christ, there's no rest, but rather separation and there's condemnation. And that is where you find yourself tonight. Notice secondly here, the potential of Boaz. The potential of Boaz, verse 2. And now is not Boaz our kindred, of whose maidens thou wast. We've already considered Boaz and his qualifications as the kinsman redeemer in previous messages. But Naomi makes it plain to Ruth here that Boaz is a man that she's picked out for her. Naomi could not have picked a better man for Ruth. You see, it would have done Ruth no good to have picked someone else. She could have searched the whole land, but there was no one else who could fulfill the role that Boaz could. Consider his potential here. What was his potential? Well, he had the right reputation. It's demonstrated through his actions. He displayed compassion, wisdom, and grace in his dealings with Ruth. He cared about Ruth in spite of her past, in spite of the community she came from, in spite of what she could offer him, which was absolutely nothing. He loved her like she was and acted in grace toward her. You know, we see in many areas of life today, and especially in some countries where there is these arranged marriages, especially in India, there is this caste system where the wealthy marry the wealthy, and the wealthy are not allowed to marry the poor, and vice versa. And they're brought together in these arranged marriages to keep a family line going and to keep the wealth within that family circle. But not so here in this marriage. Ruth had absolutely nothing. She was the lowest of the low. And yet Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. He loved her as she was. And what a picture of our heavenly Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has the same reputation as Boaz, the one who loved us and died to save sinners despite their past. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a picture of grace. In spite of our past, in spite of what we could offer him, which is nothing but our sin, he still reaches out in love to save all who will call upon him by faith. Boaz also had the right relationship. He was a kinsman. That is, he had the right of redemption. He was closely related. He could make a difference in Ruth's life. He qualified as a near kinsman, and so too our heavenly Boaz qualifies tonight because he is related to us. Philippians 2:7. But made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Isn't it wonderful to think that our Lord Jesus Christ came and gave his life a ransom for his people, took on the form of a man, robed in a body of flesh, came to this earth and lived that perfect, sinless life as a Spirit-filled man. He had that right relationship to perform our part as our Redeemer. He died in our room and in our stead. Thank God he has the right relationship. No one else could do for us what he has done for us, the sinful sons of men. Boaz also had the right resources. He was a mighty man of wealth. He could afford to pay this great price to redeem Ruth. The kinsman had to be willing, but he also had to be able. He had to possess the resources necessary to redeem the debt, the party owed. And again, what a picture. What a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty man of wealth. Consider the great debt we owe to sinners, a debt that we could never, ever pay. We're separated from God, condemned by our sin, unable to achieve the righteous demands of a holy and righteous God. And yet Christ was willing to offer himself an atonement for our sin. He alone had what was available. He is the only one who could give what we needed. And that is that perfect righteousness. You see, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as Isaiah 64 tells us. They're nothing. Nothing, an unclean thing. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ stepped in, took our place. He had the resources. He also had the resolve. Boaz gave every indication that he was interested in a relationship with Ruth. He noticed her the first time she showed up in his field. He gave to her freely. He was kind, compassionate to her. He gave her that invitation to enter and glean in his field. He made provision for her. He provided protection for her. He allowed her to eat at his table. He charged his servants to leave those handfuls of purpose for her. He not only recognized her need, but he had an interest in her. He wants her to know that she can come to him for whatever she needs. And again, we have that picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us that he cares for us, that he cares for sinners. He's done everything in his power to show us that he's done everything to save us. All that remains is for lost men and women to turn to him, to accept him as their Savior. As the Bible tells us in Revelation 22 and 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Ruth was encouraged to come. You see, Ruth came to Bethlehem empty and in great need. And the future seemed dark and hopeless for her. There was nothing there for her. But yet one came to her to help her in her situation. One who had the potential to help her. And dear sinner, tonight your life maybe has left you unfulfilled. Your life of sin has never brought you peace. It's never brought you satisfaction, and you're like Ruth, you're empty. Yet there's one who has the potential to give you all you need tonight, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a field of grace tonight, and there is a Boaz who stands ready and able and willing to redeem you and give you all that you need, to give you all the satisfaction you need. You see, he sees your situation. He's provided for your great need tonight. He stands ready to save you. One final thought. Notice the priority for Ruth. The priority for Ruth. Verse 2, the second part. "Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor." The moment Naomi chose to speak to Ruth about a husband here was very important. This moment was during the end of the harvest season. The end of the harvest that emphasizes to us tonight the personal responsibility and the opportunity you have to come. You see, that opportunity was available here. But the opportunity would not last forever. The proposal was made when the harvest season was ending. For the winnowing of the grain was the last stage of threshing. And this was taking place. The harvest was about to end. And it was during the harvest season that Boaz had shown an interest in Ruth.
And if Ruth does not pursue this interest now, it will send a message to Boaz that she is not interested in him. In the practice of the Levirate marriage, which was the case here with Boaz and Ruth, the widow was the one to press the case. I read in Deuteronomy 25 and, 20, and verse 7, "And if the man like not to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate unto the elders and say, My husband's brother refuses to raise up unto his brother a name in Israel. He'll not perform the duty of my husband's brother." The woman was to go. And Boaz had done his part by showing these great acts of kindness to Ruth. Therefore, Ruth needs now to make her move. Or Boaz will have no other conclusion but think that Ruth is not interested in him. That would effectively close the door for the two of them to be married in the future. And here we see the personal responsibility that is strongly emphasized here. Ruth had a great responsibility to act and express her attitude of interest in Boaz if she wanted him for her husband. He had done his part. He had done all that was necessary. He had done more than enough. Now it is up to Ruth to reciprocate if she's interested in Boaz as a husband, which she was. Dear sinner, let me say to you tonight, if you end up in a lost sinner's hell, it'll be down to your rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ because you have not come to him. You see, he has done everything that is necessary for you to be saved. He has done all. He's done all that is needed for your soul's salvation. But you have a responsibility to come. To come. And the command of Scripture is for all men everywhere to repent and to believe the gospel. The Lord has done his part. He offers forgiveness of sins to all who will come and trust in him. I wonder tonight, will you be like Ruth? Will you come? Will you come to the heavenly Boaz, or will you once again reject his offer of mercy? The harvest was coming to an end here. The harvest was coming to an end. When will the harvest end for you, friend? We quoted the verse earlier, the harvest is past, the summer is ended. And friend, tonight, are you still not saved? Are you still not saved? The warning from God is that his Spirit shall not always strive with man. The harvest was coming to an end. Here was Ruth's opportunity. Naomi knew Boaz could be found at the threshing floor, winnowing the barley that had been harvested. And again, we have a significant picture here with a wonderful application. The threshing floor was usually a raised platform built up on a hill. The grain was separated from the stalk by the beating of the sheaves of a rod or by the using of an ox to trample the sheaves by pulling a cartwheel around the floor. And once the grain and the husk had been separated, they were thrown up into the breeze. And the breeze would blow the lighter husk away, leaving the heavier grain as it fell to the floor. We have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ offered up for the sacrifice of sin upon the hill of Calvary. He was beaten. He was scourged prior to the crucifixion. He bore the sins of his people upon the cross, feeling the mighty wrath of a holy God upon him. And friend, it's to the cross tonight that you must come to have your sin dealt with. Ruth was to go to the threshing floor to meet Boaz, and you too must come to the threshing floor of the Lord. The sin and impurities of your life must be separated, must be cast away. And friend, let me say, they will be dealt with. Your sin will be dealt with one way or another, either upon Christ on the cross, or your sin will be dealt with forever in the punishment of a lost sinner's hell. But either way, the debt must be paid. What will it be for you? You see, there's much at stake here as Ruth prepared to meet with Boaz. Quite literally, her future depended upon this meeting with this man. And we too must make that necessary preparations to meet the Lord. Because one day you will meet the Lord Jesus Christ. You will either meet him this side of eternity as your heavenly Boaz, as your Redeemer, or you'll meet him in eternity as your judge. And as your judge, he will send you to that lost sinner's hell. Friend, have you turned from your life of sin in Moab? Have you come to find rest in your heavenly Boaz? And you can this evening. You can find rest for your weary soul. Why wander? Why wander in the wilderness of sin, never finding rest, never finding peace, never finding satisfaction when the Lord simply says, come. Come on to me, and I will give you rest for your soul. Would you come tonight? Come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavenly Boaz, and he will give you rest for your needy soul. And Lord, help you even this evening to come. Lord, bless his word. I undertake for us even tonight in this meeting. Let us close even now. Let us seek the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the wonderful gospel truth that we have even considered this evening. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the one who has done all that is necessary for the sinner to be saved. All that's left for the sinner to do is simply to come unto him, simply to leave their sin behind and come and find rest for their needy soul. We thank you for the price that has been paid upon the cross of Calvary. We thank you that sin has been dealt with through that one sacrifice for sin forever. Oh, what a cost it was. Cost of thy precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the Lamb of God. Thank you for what he's done on behalf of sinners such as we. Lord, we pray earnestly this evening. Lord, if there be any in our meeting tonight who know not Christ as their Saviour, tonight they will come, will simply come and trust in him. Realize that sin must be dealt with one way or another. No, thou art a holy God. Thou art a just God. And sin can never enter into that most holy place of heaven. Oh, Father, have mercy upon souls, we pray tonight. Lord, be with us even now as we leave this meeting. We thank you for thy presence even this day. We thank you for help given even in the preaching of the word. Draw near to each one, Lord, and draw close to us throughout this week. Bless each one in our service for thee. Undertake for all our needs. Bless us now, we ask. Pray these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.